afternoon. So I'm hailing here from the great state of Pennsylvania, from the east, and I want to talk a little bit about a new project that I started last year on the integration of grazing and no-tillage crop production. This came really as a result of my work in over the years with no-tillage. I was primarily working in no-tillage but I really was not integrating grazing into that at all, and especially working on no-till systems for improving soil health. So now there are some new results coming out to suggest that perhaps integration of grazing might be beneficial into no-till crop production. For example, if you have a way of adding value to cover crops by grazing them, that makes the farmers much more interested in using them than if you only use them for soil health improvement. Cover crops are a very important part of no-till systems, and they can meet forage needs in critical periods. When the farmers manage them also for forage, sometimes people have been thinking negatively about that. They say, well, these cover crops are just there to absorb nutrients and to improve the soil, and we need to return all that organic matter to the soil. But if they are grown for forage, they typically also are managed to become much bigger. So we have a lot more biomass there, also below ground. So that also helps to potentially improve the soil. And then we have the impact of the animals on the soil, which traditionally often was looked upon as being perhaps a threat with soil compaction. But now there are also some other effects, such as the impact of the manure and the urine and the grazing effect of trampling the organic matter into the soil that could potentially be a benefit. So I got interested in that, and I'm just learning about this through some case studies that I'm doing with three different farmers. So just to show you a little bit how different no-till crops can help meet the forage needs on a grazing farm. So we have here the mainstay of the grazing farms are always these cool season perennials in our environment. So there are typically two peaks in their productivity, one in the spring and then one in the fall. And then we have here a period that is called the summer slump, that we often get a reduction in productivity, and the graziers are then struggling somewhat to meet their feed needs. Also, we have, of course, our winter, where we don't have production from those cool season perennials. That is also a gap. And if we think about climate change, this drop in productivity could easily become more if the climate warms, because these cool season perennials don't do very well under a climate that is hot. So here we can use some different types of crops that can be established with no-till practices, such as here we have cool season annuals that can be grazed then in the spring. We also could potentially then plant another a warm season annual, and that could be grazed in the fall. Some warm season annuals can also be grazed over the summer a couple of times. And then we still have the winter time, where there are different types of forages that can be stockpiled. They don't grow at that time of the year, but we have them just standing in the field and then can graze them. So that gives you a little bit of an overview of a conceptual framework for how these different types of no-till established, perhaps forages / cover crops, can help meet forage needs on a grazing farm. So in our project, we just really use a case study approach. I work with three different farmers. One is here in the coldest spot of Pennsylvania, Forest County, and it is a beef producer. There is one here in the center part of the state, also a beef producer, and then a dairy farmer. And I'm learning about what is important for graziers, and one important fact is that the dairy farmers are much more sensitive to the quality of the forage. So they have to have much higher quality material than these beef farmers. So I'm just going to run through a little bit of these farms. This is the most northern location. This farmer started to use rotational grazing in 2011, so he's been recently starting to do this. His farm was really degraded, and he has seen that this has really helped to make his soil much better and to improve his productivity. So he has a 220-acre farm, 130 acres of cropland / pasture. He uses only no-till practices, and his mainstay are these Angus cows, but he also has other animals such as sheep, hogs, the goats, and chickens. And he moves, he uses very intensive rotational grazing. He has a lot of different types of species on his farm, 30 of perennial and annual forage species that he plants, often in mixtures. One of his major goals is he is really a grazer farmer, and he wants to graze throughout the year. So in that cold climate, it's really challenging, but he's been able to graze 290 days per year, and that is really exceptional. By moving the animals very frequently, many times, four times a day, in the peak growth periods. And that then, by packing his animals very densely in the field, he gets very high pounds, 300,000 pounds of live weight per acre. Now, he wants to still improve that more and be more intensive with his grazing. So here, this is the central location farm. This is a very diverse farm. They have a lot of different activities, such as a farm store and broiler production. They have also grain production. And then they have their grass-fed limousine, which they also use to sell the embryos. So they have 180 acres that they own and 400 acres that they farm, which of which 180 acres are pastures and cropland. So they are using grazing of cover crops. So they have fall-established cover crops after their main crops, such as soybeans, and then they also use summer cover crops, such as here we see pearl millet. So they use these different types of cover crops, cool-season cover crops, as well as warm-season cover crops. And they don't move their animals so frequently because of their labor constraints. And then the third farm is the dairy farmer. This is in the more southern part of Pennsylvania, where it's much milder. But this farm is very landlocked. He needs to really get the maximum value or production out of his farm. He only has 30 milk cows, and he also shoots for very high milk production with grazing. So he has 10 acres of permanent pasture, and then he uses 15 acres of annuals for grazing, both cool season and warm season annuals that he uses. And then on the other side of the farm, he doesn't have it fenced, but he uses that to grow his harvested crops. So we collected some data last year. We were not able to do it on all the farms. This is in the northern location, Tyonesta. And this farmer, he grazed his cool season cover crops, rye vetch mixture, but last year didn't do so well. This year it did a lot better. He used Japanese millet for grazing. So here we have a warm season annual to meet that summer slump need. And he got very good production out of that. So you see also here these grazer farmers, they are, if they want to really improve the soil, they're very particular about only grazing about half of the biomass, and the rest they want to leave in the field. Part of it is going to be trampled into the soil, and the other part is just there for the regrowth again. And then here we have the pearl millet on the central location, where they were very happy that year. They had been trying to use warm season perennials, but had a lot of trouble with establishment of that. And so now they had tried this pearl millet, were very happy with that. So here is just a picture to show you how that looks, pearl millet, before the cows are sent in there, and then that is how it looks after it has been grazed. So there is still a lot of vegetation left in the field. This is a picture of Japanese millet, a very uncommon crop in Pennsylvania. But this farmer, he is using that, and it is very well adapted to poorly drained soils. which he has a lot of that on his farm. And here we have a mixture of rape with pearl millet on another farm. This is a picture of Sudan grass. This is on a dairy farm. So this is what you have when you want to have a very high quality material for the dairy farm. And then after grazing, this is how that still looks. There is still a lot of vegetation left. So very good cover. This is some data from this year. We tried to do a better job on collecting data. So here, this was this northern location again, and these are these cool season annuals, a mixture of hairy vetch, clover, and annual ryegrass, and there was also some triticale in there, and this was just a tremendous yield. His grazed yield, so that is what the cows consume, was 3,600 pounds, which was really a lot of biomass. Then we have some other options here for the meeting forage needs in the summer. Pearl millet rape mix. Now here we had a tremendous drought in this central part Pennsylvania area, but they were still able to graze this much. And then this was three grazings on the dairy farm in the southern location where he was able to graze that three times. We did evaluate soil health. We first tried, we're just trying to find our way. We tried to send our samples to a lab, but we're really not getting a lot of help, so we've gone back to our qualitative evaluation and found that to be much more useful for discussing with the farmer. We just look at the soil and evaluate the different properties mostly qualitatively. One very interesting or helpful tool is the infiltration ring. These were the time for infiltrating 1 inch. That's the dark part. This was on that northern location. And you could see the water soaked in very quickly in these perennial warm season mixes, also in the cool season annual mix, very high infiltration rate, but he had a one field that had very slow infiltration, and it helped us to discuss with him what could be done to improve that soil. So in conclusion, there are many opportunities to integrate grazing into no-till systems. I'm still learning about it. I see there is a lot of diversity in how the farmers use this, and that diversity is actually what we need to understand better and to use that for to meet the farmers' objectives. So that's the end of my presentation. If there is any time for questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Maybe two or three questions?
Yes. So I don't have those results here with me today, but they do a forage analysis on, or we do that on the grazed portion of their, of what, well, we compare what was there before. They sent the cows in there. We harvest everything to the soil surface. Then we just send it to the lab for protein analysis, MDFD, and all those indicators that we normally use for quality evaluation. But we find that the beef cow producers are much less sensitive to that than the dairy farmer. The dairy farmer says he can notice poor quality feed in basically if you, a day. He notices in the milk production. So, yes.
Maybe one more question.
What was the cause of all that?
So the hoof, effect of the hoofs. So the farmers have to be very... They used different types of mob grazing. One moves his animals four times per day, and the other only one time a day. So it is during times that it is wet, the soil is wet, that soil compaction can be a threat. But their heavy root system is really helps to avoid soil compaction.
Great.
Thank you.
Very much.